It was night. Ooh, I better read fast. And the street was shrouded in darkness, broken by the pools of light created by the lamps. Most of the houses were dark blocks set into the night. A few at this late hour showed pale lamplight behind shades and curtains. A distant hiss marked the Hilawati River, where it spilled over the rocks in its descent from Polychrome Mountain. The wind stirred the trees into whispered excitement. She had reached the corner and had turned onto Olam Kali Street, leading to the maglev station, when she smelled them. Two of them, waiting in the shadows between two of the houses, under that tree. "Is that her?" she heard one whisper. "She's a tourista, isn't she? But they said she'd be wearing some kinky sort of clothing, a uniform." She was passing by them now, pretending she couldn't hear or smell them. She remembered the brawny cockers she had noticed now and then. Peacock was ruled by custom, not laws. They didn't have policers, they had enforcers. She wondered if they knew what a hound could do. There were only two of them. Or were there? She continued to listen as she drew away. "That wasn't her. Wait. She's passing under the streetlight. We'll get a better look. Red hair. That's her, all right. Call Karen Amata and tell them to come up the street. We'll follow her down." They came out of the shadows with a silence remarkable for their size. She did not turn around to look at them. Four, she supposed, two behind, two ahead. That made the odds not quite even. But she ought not simply kill them. She had come to Peacock Junction to track the Phantom Fleet, not to create a diplomatic incident between Peacock and the League. On the other hand, if she let them attack her, every hound who heard of it would come straight to the junction, and there would be no stone left atop another. "Here comes Karatanata, we got her. Hey, where'd she go?" In the lightless interstice between two street lamps, Bridget Bond had leapt aside, leaving a pair of sandals standing in the walkway behind her, as if she had simply evaporated in place. Wooden soles would make noise when running, and silence now was worth any price. Fleet as a whippet, she sprinted between two darkened dwellings into a shared greenery behind trees, a fish pond, several beds of colorful flowers, a stone garden. As she ran, she gathered her sarong up and tucked it into her waistband. Now it was a short skirt, and her legs were free. She bounded over the pond, ran a few steps along a bench, and up over a hedgerow of fat-leafed oily plants, and down in another back garden, again shared by several houses. She crouched, knees bent, fingertips lightly touching the grass like a runner poised for the gun, and listened. A whistle in the distance on the block she had come from. Was this a world where people pulled the shutters closed when they heard such sounds at night? Or one where they ran to their windows and spied on the dark with comm units clutched in their hands? Long hours in the training room now returned interest 100-fold. She sprinted out to the next street where she paused, sniffed, listened, looked, nothing. Across the street and repeat the process over to the next street. Could she run fast enough to put her outside the radius of what they would consider a reasonable search area? How far to the next maglev station? No, forget that. They'd be watching the maglev stations. She paused, panted, looked around the neighborhood. A large hulk of a building stood in mid-block, like a rock among soap bubbles. The walls were rough, unfinished granite, and bore in front a colonnade whose pillars seemed the least bit too wide and the least bit too short. It appeared more lasting than the evanescent homes around it, more serious than anything the frivolous Cockers would build. Its stolid facade bespoke an earlier epoch in the planet's history. If other buildings of this ilk had ever squatted along the street, they had long since been demolished and replaced. An official building, then, dark, unlikely to be occupied at this hour. Perhaps it was a library or a meeting hall. Was it open, locked, alarmed? By now her description was abroad. There would be someone waiting in her hotel room. Her ship would be guarded. She hoped no one was so stupid as to try to break into it. The ship's intelligence frowned on such mischief. They would be expanding the search block by block. They had been fools to send only four men to arrest her. She could not count on them remaining fools. If they had awoken Pulaweo by now, likely, he would tell them she had left his home an hour earlier and that she was wearing her hound's uniform as they had expected. This would confuse them for a time. Were they chasing the right person? Or another red-headed turista coincidentally in the same neighborhood? Either way, they would want to find her. She found a back door to the building where she could work unobserved in the dark. Her night vision was very good, at one with her enhanced smell and hearing. She studied the walls, saw no wires, no receptors. She paid particular attention to the mortared crevices between the great stone blocks. If she were to insert a monitor into the walls, there would be a good location. Nothing. Remembering the vestibule at the STC tower, she leapt to no conclusion. Remained crouched there, pawed a little at the door, snuffled. It was hinged to open inward, a lever latch. She pressed it down. No alarms. This far from the tourist areas, the Cockers did not fear unauthorized entries.